I don't know if you get it. It's,
sí. Yo comprendo. Es muy fácil para traducir a inglés. Es muy. Gracias. Gracias.
So, I always want dogs. I got dogs. Anybody here? Do you have any pets? You have a pet? No. Okay. You never had a pet. Never. Well, what have you had? Have you had a cat? Where did you get it?
Down the road.
That's where they have them. Like, okay, stop being so stupid.
So basically it was like a rescue, you know? Yes. Oh, yeah, total rescue. That's really an important thing now, you know, that your dog's from a rescue organization. You know.
Rescue?
Yeah, we got him off the open water. This guy.
This little guinea pig is about to take a jump off the aerial lift bridge, and we got him. I got one of my dogs from a disreputable breeder in Costa Mesa, California, for $300. Told me she was a one-year-old. I brought her to the vet, and the vet said, she's 8 years old and she's a day and she stinks. And she has four teeth, which really all you need to make quick work of a snossage. And that's Blossom. And I just got Bert, the second guy, and I did not realize in what kind of danger these animals were until I had to sit through the 6-hour orientation at the Little Angels Pug Rescue in the Glendale Petco. You think this is funny? Think you know a little about these animals? Okay. That's fine. Just don't come crying to me when you find Mrs. Pigglewiggle suffocated to death because you left her alone with a half-empty yogurt container. You feel lucky? Why don't you leave your pugs under 10 in the backyard? You're going to find Winston and Margaret Thatcher belly up and bloated in the corner of your koi pond. Because pugs love the water, but they cannot swim! Think they're enjoying the sun out there, laying out there? Oh, they enjoy it. But Violet and Buttercup will lay out there till their brains boil. These are not smart animals! After dark, gotta watch out for coyotes, owls! I was just wondering if I could put Bert and Blossom, they have like these little matching Holly Hobby sweatshirts their Nana got them.
Do you know what it's like for an animal to wear clothing? Want me to hog tie you to an airport travel pillow? If I discover you've taken off their Little Angels Pug Rescue harness, regulation harness, and put them in some decorative collar, I will find you in hell. Because I cannot tell you how many times I found the limp, lifeless body of a Yoda or a Dr. Snuggles hanging off the adjustment lever of a Lazy Boy.
I just think it's funny the way it's hard for him to breathe. It's funny. Face is smushed in. It's funny. I have that love in my life. My family of pugs writing a song about it. Blossom and Bird and Maria. Making the family, working it out there, working it, working it out. Bert is 6, Blossom is 10, Maria's 38, and all together, this makes 34. Pugs sometimes like to run around. Ladies like to live alone. But sometimes they get together and become one.
It's a
tender. That's a tender treat. It's a tender treat. Oh, my goodness. I am, visualizing a love relationship. I know they're supposed to be really wonderful, to have a love in your life, and I am trying to start listening to the music of
Delilah, Love Songs on the Coast. Where are you coasting tonight? Hi, it's Delilah. Where are you coasting tonight? Hi, Amy, calling in from Tustin, California. Amy, what's going on with you tonight? So you and Matt broke up. That's hard. That's hard. What do you want to say to Matt? That you miss him and it hurts. Well, we'll play that for Matt. This goes out to you, Matt. Penny Lover by Lionel Richie.
Like, I think they should have little footnotes to all those songs because they're so unrealistic, Say, I will cross an ocean for you if that ocean led to an English-speaking country, because at this point in my life, it's really difficult to learn a second language, not to mention the anti-American sentiment. We'd have to talk about it. I would do anything for love except a work-related event over 5 hours in length, because that's ridiculous. I don't know those people. You stay. I'm fine. I'm an introvert. I've got to go home and stare at a page of Dave Ziggy calendar. I can't. I got to go. I have been in a relationship. I wasn't one that broke up about a year ago, and it just didn't work out. It was a super nice guy, and I hate it when people try to make it like it's somebody's fault. What happened? Just didn't work out. Super nice guy, didn't work out. Come on, what'd he do? Nothing. Super nice guy, work out. Come on. Well, he started hitting me. Yeah, with really soft stuff, like cosmetic wedges and cotton balls from the back. And I'm like, I feel that. And then he started cheating, especially at Magnetic Travel Scrabble. Kicking it is not a word. And he's all like, oh, why don't you go suck it? I'm like, why don't you go suck it? He's like, I'm not the one who can't fly, which is ridiculous because I told him from the beginning I was flightless. These are clearly prehensile. Mama can't get any air. Oh, girl, that is so like men. So, I sometimes do get scared about relationships because my family was a bit critical. There wasn't a lot of love. And here's critical love. And so I get worried about, last guy I dated, I'm not the healthiest eater. And sometimes for breakfast, I like to have a mug of chocolate ice cream, sweet chalk chips up top, sweet power surge, get the little lady started. And he said, why don't you try something healthier, like a piece of whole wheat toast with some banana spread on it, because that's good. I said, I can't do that, because I'm not a liar, because that is not good. That is not delicious at all. You can't change people, you can't change me. I'm a gypsy, I'm a sea cow. Yeah, I know the motorboats are going to hit me, but this is where I fucking swim. So intense. I love this job. Did you ever like your job, but then feel like, oh, I wonder if we could take it to the next level? I could be an accountant, but also be a cloud. Every year, rain down upon people. Every year I think of a different job I could do, like this year I say, I could have been a nurse, do you need me to hose that off? I could be a cop, because LA's hiring, right? Like down there. I could be like, hey, stop it. Like that, I could do that. But I work a lot by myself, and I do really miss camaraderie of working in a place, you know, being with other people, because I'm by myself most of the time, and I miss the, where do you want to go for lunch? Where do you want to go for lunch? Where do you want to go for lunch? Get, like, a sandwich or something. Like a salad. Someplace where you get a Diet Coke. We could go to Quiznos! Yes, we could, my friend. Yes, we could. I like the drama, you know. Don't touch Donna's Labor Maker. Okay, don't touch it. She bought it with her own money. Enough said, sister. Enough said. I don't want anyone fucking touching my shit either. That's why I've sharpened my tape dispenser. My nombre. So, yeah. I got in trouble sometimes because I get kind of out of control at work. Because other people's food always looks better.
Did someone else take my key lime pie your plate?
No, it wasn't me. It really wasn't me this time.
Did you eat my Southwestern style lean cuisine?
No, no.
Did you eat my hat chocolate rabbit? It's just basically half a head with an ear that I've been gnawing on for the past 5 years. It still has a ribbon around it because my mom gave it to me for Easter.
Yes.
Stop it. Stop scrambling things up in your chops.
I like simple foods. I like comedy club food, which is a boon, you know, because I like simple, you know, just, I don't want to hear about the food, you know, and they fancy restaurant, they say, oh, we're going to terrify the beef, and then we're going to shove it next to some carrots that don't know what's going on, and they're going to try to escape up there, paddling desperate towards shore, but there's a tsunami of booze juice coming at them. Like, I don't need to know that. Does that shape fit in here? How do we get it in the munching cave? Do you have a dinner blizzard? A blizzard of dinner? Let's get it in the pipeline. Hey, so yeah, okay, yeah. You know when you're at your public pool and you're just tugboating along on three noodles and a kickboard? Some kid's like, hey, why are you taking all the noodles? It's not my problem. School gets out at 3. I got here at 1, buddy. Self-employed. You may have one noodle. So, did anyone here just move to Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have a job yet?
Yeah.
What's your job? Okay, that's a good job, right? Because they got bennies, right?
Yeah.
Benefits, and then do you get like the old piñas, pineapples, you know, like the cookies that have been crushed. That have been crushed. They're no good. Sorry?
Cookies
you get. That's real nice. It's good to have a job. I don't always move out here. They're like, you've got to have a job when you come to L.A. And that's the only way you can go to L.A. is have a job. So I got a job during, I don't know who said that, but somebody in my head said that to me. Clearly. And they were enunciating when they said it. I moved out to L.A. I started doing Star Trek characters in a touring show. And the tour went to mall openings and Jack in the Box promotions all over Victoria, Texas. And it's a bit of a longer piece, so settle in.
Greetings, I'm Major Lelanka of the planet Bajor. I can see the makeup on your face. Oh, you mean my genetic makeup? Yes, I am molecularly different from you, as I am an alien and you are a human. Greeting. Get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me! Ah, excellent. Good way, hello. I shall try it on the Klingon when he is back from his smoke break. Yes.
Why do you have stains all over your uniform?
Because the Starship Enterprise is not reimbursed for dry cleaning. You, sir, we're sitting on the bench. Do you have a moment to speak to an alien? You have a doggy bag from Coco's? Yes? Is he waiting for your wife? Yes. A VFW hat?
Yes, I'm a veteran of foreign wars myself. Yes.
Would you like to hear the story of my people? Yes, we were from Bajor, much like the Jews. We were decimated by a superior race, the Cardassians, reptilian folk. The last memory I have of my parents is I was making paper dolls in the attic. Yes, we have attics. We are not barbarians. And I heard the cries of my parents, and I ran down the stairs. Yes, yes, we have stairs! You think us imbeciles? I'm sorry, I'm defensive. And there I found the bodies of my parents, flayed from stem to stern by the deadly Cardassian toenail. And all I have left to remember them by is this bloody paper doll. Yes, it does look like a napkin from Steak in the Cup with ketchup on it. It looks like that, but it is not. It is not, my friend. Are you one of the deniers of the Holocaust? Would you like to play an improv game with the Vulcan?
Thank you so much. Does anybody here not have health insurance? Okay, what's the plan? What are you going to do? You die? Okay, that's a good plan. Maybe write it down. You should forget.
And coming up next on Free Radio, only 6 minutes late, is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris, and you are listening to the stream of freakradio.org, or Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're still off the air broadcast-wise, and luckily, the power just came on, so we're on the stream. We actually, I think we're had some power problems because of the storm here. Today is March 24th, 2011. And the call-in number, in case you want to call the show, is 831-427-3772. 831-427-3772. We're going to have lots of guests today, and hopefully maybe your calls as well. And I'll be talking about that in just a moment after we do a little musical intro. Stay tuned.
Tell me of a land far beyond the skies. Tell me of a home far away. Tell me of a land where no storm clouds rise. Oh, tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of cloudless skies. Tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, tell me of an uncloudy day. Thank you.
That one is called the Jolly... No, that's not the Jolly Banker. That's the Uncloudy Day. It's a traditional song, but the album is the Death and Taxes by the Jolly Banker. Maybe it's the Jolly Banker by Death and Taxes. It's not entirely clear. Anyway, you are tuned to Free Radio, as I mentioned before, and I'm going to introduce my guests, which I have quite a bunch. Starting on the far left, we have Angel.
Hello.
Try to get as close as you can, Angel, to the mic.
Hello.
There you go. And we also have Rob.
Hello, how you doing?
And then there's Don. Hey, Don.
Hello.
And Jack. Yeah, belly up to the mic, Jack. You got a soft voice there, so I want to make sure everybody can hear you. Actually, the closer you can get, the better. Like, you're about an inch away. Yeah, pull the mic over so you can hear you. There you go.
My name's Jack Smith.
And, Jack, you are, in fact, the reason I'm here today. That is to say, you're the reason that we're all here today. I'd be here anyway, but... I ran into you a couple of mornings ago in a Felton Coffee Roasting Company type place.
That's correct.
And you gave me quite a tale about foreclosures, arrests, bad medical treatment at the sheriff's, and other such misadventures. And we recorded that, and I'll probably play that again at some time in the future. But since you're here in the studio... either you can update me, or maybe if you want, one of your associates here can update me. Why don't you introduce these folks in terms of saying who they are and what their relationship is to the issues?
Well, basically, they're my friends for many, many years. There's not a one of them that we haven't helped one another, and that's what they're trying to do for me right now, is stand up for me. Due to I have been a pretty sick guy since 05, which I know you don't want to hear.
No, tell me about it.
Basically, in 05, I got staph and just about croaked. I was wearing a pick for 3 months and taking shots at, once a day to keep the staph out of my dripping. The drip went right by my heart to keep it from going into my heart. I never really came out. I used to weigh 185. I'm 150 now, but... as time progresses, I have a 4.5 hernia on my aorta that could rupture between now and 5. So bottom line, the VA takes very good care of me to the best of their ability, and I take a tremendous amount of meds. Well, when Sergeant Ross decided to come down, and he basically has went out of his way to make my life a nightmare. And he has multiple young men such as himself that are, you know, they're very, very, they look like they're bald-headed, no hair, and they look like strong-armed kind of guys. Well,
thugs,
yeah, thugs perhaps.
You're talking about sheriff's deputies.
Yes, sheriff's deputies, especially in Felton. Felton's a training ground for them guys, and they are taught by the elderly officers. But I had a Mercedes-Benz that had a license plate. I spent some portion of my life in the military. It said X, Mercenary X. It's an old collector's of Mercedes. And basically, they didn't like it because it didn't have a license plate light on it. It wasn't required at that time when it was brought into the United States, and it was approved as it was. So I kind of felt that it should be left for the value purposes of it, stock. But... I never have put one on it. I just finally took it off the road. But for years, I got harassed by them guys about the same thing. That was a probable cause. So I think many of you people out there have done this same thing, got harassed and harassed. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I got stopped by one highway patrolman by the taqueria and by another one. And by the time I got to the roasting company, and that was Croach, is his name. I've known him for 20 years, because I've spent 20 years in Felton. But bottom line, I've made many, many dump runs for people that couldn't afford it. It just so happened I had two trailers load of stuff ready to go to the dump, but I've been rained out where I can't get in. It's a slippery, slidey old ride, and I still got one there that they complained about, which I'm going to pull out of there and dump as soon as I can get up that hillside. But my situation is they're trying to kick me out of my house. They got a parte ex parte application to cause me to be vacated. I've had electricians sue there and plumbers, and they snicker. They're basically, this, it's not like it's represented in the paperwork. They first gave me two red tags, one on each end. It's a legal triplex. And the laundry room, because we did septic work and a lot of stuff we didn't use anymore, we put a shower in there. So if the guys are dirty, take a shower before they went home. But I've ran a maintenance business for 20 years in the area. There may have been a couple vent pipes down where the guys took them out to snake out the old drains, but the house was built in 1910. So a lot of what you see is definitely grandfathered in. Cecilia Brown and I have had conflicts about that.
And who is Cecilia Brown?
She's a head health officer.
Yeah, and where is your house for those who know?
138 Felton Empire Road. I'm sure all of you people have seen my face in the Sentinel and other papers. They have been.
Now, why would we have seen your face in the Sentinel?
Because I'm being exploited by the press. They've been out in front of my house. I haven't even had my arraignment, but they got me down as guilty throughout the valley because so much exposure. This is not the country that I went to the military for. That you had. You were supposedly innocent until proven guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. Well, Ross is hanging me.
Now, you are charged with what? Unlawful possession of ammunition by a felon?
That's it. And it was in my motorhome when I got it. When my friends moved me out of my house.
Be advised, of course, anything you say on the air here, and it's actually being archived, could be used by authorities later in court.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
So if you want, you can have other people talk about this issue rather than yourself.
Well, I think I'll take advantage of the advice of my friend here.
Okay.
But we're going to have a town meeting Thursday sometime. I believe it's at 6 p.m. By that time, they've decided they're going to meet with.
You mean a week from today? Today is Thursday, of course.
Yeah.
You're talking about?
I think it's the 28th.
There's a town meeting of the Felton community?
Community townhouse, yeah.
And is this something that happens regularly? Are you calling the meeting?
They're calling the meeting.
They being?
Well, primarily the Felton Businessmen's Association. I got the most viewable lot there. Great view and all this, and I've been in the maintenance business there for years. At one time, half the lot was commercial. The building department and also the planning department has pressed me to take it all to residential. Therefore, I can't park a truck on it and so forth. But when I originally bought the property, I had a half a lot of commercial property, which enabled me to run my business there. Thank you. I'm going to pass the mic. If you want to come to a town meeting, we need some friendly faces.
That's going to be at 7 o'clock on Thursday the 20th. Today is the 24th, so today is Thursday. So it wouldn't be the 28th if it's a Thursday.
It's Tuesday.
So let's see. So it'll be Tuesday the 28th. Yeah. That sounds more likely.
I drowned in a scuba diving accident, so I'm a little. I have very little memory.
And this is going to be at 6 o'clock or 6:30.
I'm passing the mic to people that know more about and remember more about than I do. Thank you very much for your time.
Where is it going to be again?
It'll be at the Felton Firehouse.
Felton Firehouse. Yeah. Before we go on here, I want to announce for folks who are interested. This is sort of on another subject. I do a variety of subjects here on this broadcast. There is a free showing of a movie at the Nickelodeon at 7 o'clock. If you get there early there, you're likely to get in, more likely to get in. And that has, it's a movie about, I think it's about the 60s, for those of you who are old 60s nostalgia fans. I'm going to get the name of it in a moment as soon as I get my internet and gear here. And it was advertised to me as having some free tickets for those of you who don't have a lot of money, can't or to pay a lot of bucks. And I'm going to see if I can find that particular advertisement, which I got. I'm taking another look online. But if you're interested in going to a free movie, head for the Nickelodeon. Probably should get there about 10 or 15 minutes early in order to make sure you get a seat if you're looking for the free showing. Also, the Americans for Safe Access that is working on medical marijuana, which usually meets this Thursday of the month, has canceled its meeting because the weather is so bad. We probably should have canceled this entire show because the weather is so bad, but here we are. So you get to hear us, those of you who are at least on computers or listening as an afterthought on the archives. But that Americans for Safe Access meeting will be, I believe, next month. I've also asked them to call in if they want to talk about medical marijuana rules that the county is cooking up, and also the fact that Scotts Valley has banned medical marijuana dispensaries and did that last week, I believe. So that's an issue that may or may not come up this show, depending on whether folks call in, and they haven't for a while, so don't hold your breath. But I'll have other stuff to be talking about, and I'll be playing some other interviews as we go. But right now, we're going to be talking again with Jack and company here. And I guess the company includes Don, Rob, and Angel. And Don, you're next up. How long you known Jack?
I've known Jack for many years, going on better than 10 years almost. I've lived with him now for pretty near 5 years at this, and I've lived at this residence that they are in the process of trying to shut down and more than likely bulldoze.
Now, let's be candid. Is this having anything to do being a meth house? Is that part of the deal here?
This is what they've tagged it as.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, there has been some tenants that have been arrested for such things.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it should be classified as a meth house just because there are tenants that, nobody can investigate into somebody's past when they're just going to rent them a house. Jack here has been a very gracious man. For years, I can remember the living room being covered with sleeping bags when it was rainy like this, because the homeless would come to Jack's and stay the night to get out of the rain. There'd be a huge pot of beans and a huge pot of rice on the stove for everybody to eat, and Jack never asked a thing out of them. He opened his house all the time to these people and was always very helpful. I have worked with him going out on many a job where he's helped single mothers that are trying to make ends meet, and we go out and take care of some of their maintenance problems at some of their houses with very little cost to them, mostly just for whatever materials he didn't have already. Jack keeps a lot of materials around just for such occasions. He takes care of a lot of people up there in the valley and always has done. Jack's a very, very good man, and there are a lot of people, I think, in the valley that really need to speak up over what they know about Jack Smith. Jack has helped a lot of people in that valley.
Now, would that be true tonight? I mean, Jack, are you opening up the house tonight with a pot of beans and a floor space for homeless people? I'm not suggesting that everybody's going to march up to Felton, but does that happen? When was the last time that happened? Let me put it that way.
Well, basically, we haven't done it recently because they're getting a partay movement against keeping us out of the house.
And what does a partay movement indicate?
It's
what does
a motion
that mean?
In court where they really want us. We can't even do the repairs that they require. Originally, they gave us a red tag, and we had 60 days in which to handle the discrepancies.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of discrepancies were there?
Well, minor plumbing problems. We got the gas lines under pressure right now. I got a master plumber and working on it while we're here. Due to the whole scene, we don't have power or gas, so we're basically in the process of. We have a generator. We run in reasonable hours. But Sergeant Ross came up and told me, "You can't run that generator." I said, "Why not? What does everybody else do when they don't have power?" Well, we have noise abatement. I said, "Yeah, I know. We have to shut it down before 10. But their goal is not to allow us to do the work and have licensed people. We got a licensed electrician. It's already looked at, and he snickered. You know, just minor stuff. He led us to believe we had 60 days. Then about 5 days down, we've dropped light fixtures and stuff, cleaning things up for, you know, what we thought they wanted. And basically, they come in with everybody. Cecilia Brown, the head inspector, the head ordinance person, and then wrote more stuff. But it's well with the room they're talking about is basically a former laundry room. It was a guy uses it for an office quite a few times. He has to ride a bus to do his job. He doesn't have a driver's license like a lot of people these days. So he's dependent on making his living by a bus. Unfortunately, he can't be here tonight. But he's very grateful from the help we gave him. He's an ex-Marine, and he's having a difficult time like a lot of us.
How many people live in your house, Jack?
Well,
if that's an appropriate question.
Yeah, it is. There's three units there. So some had two people in them, and some had more, you know, three or four. But as a whole, it was well occupied, and they all had friends coming and so forth, visiting. And the problem, I guess, is more so my lot. It dominates Highway 9 and Felton Empire Road as far as being viewed. You come off of Graham Hill and you see it. But I've been there 20 years. I've done a lot of work on our place. I've put a lot of money in. Thank you.
Keep going.
We had the living room and the hallway, new floors coming down when they walked through. So it was obvious that we were repairing the downstairs because I had a difficult time getting the past tenants out.
So you got red tagged once, started trying to make the repairs, and you got a second red tag?
No, both ends of the property got red tagged.
Uh-huh.
And then they came back with all their inspectors, and they added to it. So, and then they won us out in 36 hours or something.
And when did they give you that ultimatum?
I don't remember the date.
I mean, how long ago? Week, 2 weeks?
What do you say, Don?
2 weeks ago.
Rather the third day, yeah. I think.
But we've been representing ourselves on a lot of it, and nobody has a place to go. And they're just going to throw more people on the street if they continue. And we have a party meeting, I believe. I don't know the date right now.
The 30th, I think?
Yeah.
The 30th.
Was it the 30th?
Yeah. 30th.
And that's a meeting in court?
Yes.
And what court is that?
Six?
Department 4?
Department 4 is Superior Court at the county courthouse.
And that is the date again is?
Is the 30th of this month.
And that'll be at what time?
I believe it's at 1.
I believe it's at 1, yes.
And who, do you know the judge?
I'm not sure of that one.
And what's the nature of this hearing? What is likely to happen, or what could happen one way or another at this hearing?
What they've done is they're trying to red tag the building as uninhabitable, which it really isn't, but that's what they're saying. So they're saying it's unsafe to occupy.
And you live there yourself?
No, but I've been there many times for years.
Are you a local Felton guy yourself?
Yes, live in the Mount Hermon area.
And why are there any people who are taking the lead in pressing this case? I mean, Jack has mentioned Sergeant Ross. Are there other merchants who are concerned about this? Or
it's an abuse of power that I haven't seen in a long time. You've got the started with the sheriff. Well, it started with.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to.
It's all right. If you don't remember some of it, just tell me what you do remember.
Unfortunately, a lot of it started with our head librarian over at the library, which is directly catty-corner from the property.
Uh-huh. And what was the problem with her?
She likes to... she's definitely a stickler for things. And sometimes people park near the library, which is during library hours not permitted. Well, instead of being polite and asking people to move, she would call the CHP directly. I believe she has also probably been a good portion of our problem on this case, too. She has been more than willing to talk to the press at several different junctures here in this whole ordeal, which has been going on for pretty near a month now.
And so, has this happened before? Was there a previous attempt to get you guys out, or I should say, to get you out, Jack?
Well, the librarian didn't like the fact I was working during the day, and I had a lot of guys that didn't have jobs, and they were sitting there a few times drinking beer and you know, just being what guys will be. And I think she found it offensive somewhat to maybe some of her ladies when they were coming in. I don't know. I never really had a chat with her about it, but I've heard her screaming at me a couple of times. But bottom line, the judge is Judge Almquist, or Jeff Almquist. And that's whose court it's going to be in, apparently.
Well, I'm looking here at the Santa Cruz Urinal, I mean the Santa Cruz Sentinel, our paper of record, and it has a couple of stories that mention the name Jack Smith. One's March 9th, one's March 3rd, one's March 2nd. Woman pleads not guilty in Felton drug case.
And then you've got one on February the 2nd, that's when it all started.
So let's go back here, I'll take a look at the February... owner of suspected Felton drug house arrested February 24th. Maybe it's a little it's a little later. Maybe there's even more that I'm missing.
February
2nd. This is 74-year-old owner of a suspected drug house on Felton Empire Grove was arrested along with his 53-year-old Australian girlfriend. Is that somebody in the studio, perhaps, Angel?
No,
all right, where's that Australian? I want to see all the... You didn't bring in the attractive people
well,
here.
She is very... She's a wonderful woman. She was my caregiver. She did not live there, nor did I. And it basically, we haven't lived there. I moved out when my 18-year-old son moved out, basically.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, I really don't know. Probably close to 5 years ago.
Huh.
I come there and pick up papers, do the garbage runs and stuff like that, and do what maintenance has to be done. But with staff and with my other problems, I'm only good for a couple of hours. I'm not supposed to lift, but I do.
And well, I appreciate you coming in and talking about the issue. Yeah. Well, go ahead. You wanted to say something
there,
Rob?
Yeah, the other thing, too, is the way the paper puts it. For instance, the arrest, like Jack said, he nor her lived at the house, so it's not associated. Shouldn't have even been associated with the house.
But Jack owns the house.
But Jack owns the house.
So he has some responsibility for what goes on there. Would that be fair to say? I mean, I'm not sure what the legal liability is here, you know. Or
well, I'm not responsible for a person's personal actions because I'm not there. I'm an absentee.
And as far as the arrest at the house goes, some of it was for warrants, outstanding warrants.
For what kind of crimes?
I'm not sure. Uh-huh. All I know is that they
Jack, were what kind of crimes are we talking about for the warrants?
Well, let's see. One was David, who basically got charged by a highway patrolman driving without a license.
Aha, uh-huh. That's a serious crime.
Yes, it is. And he never started the vehicle. He was working. He's a woodcutter. He went and he was cutting wood with another guy that had a Jeep. They come back with a load of oak. Pulled in my driveway, and I think all he did was get in it, push in the clutch, it wasn't starting, roll it back a ways so I could get my truck out and go to work.
So, and you witnessed this yourself?
Yes, I did.
And then what happened? Some highway patroller, a deputy came up. What happened then?
Well, he wrote Dave a ticket, and I think we all went to court with him because he wasn't out of my driveway. He wasn't in the middle of the road.
This is Highway Patrol or deputies?
Highway Patrol. Uh-huh. And he completely falsified the...
Name of the Highway Patrol officer who did this?
I don't have the faintest idea.
Okay. Just wondering. We always like to hold people accountable here
at
Free Radio.
I appreciate it. Well, he wound up with egg on his face because he had a public defender who made it real clear by testimony. We were all out in the hallway. And basically, one by one, were called in as witnesses. Dave was exonerated. It was dismissed. And the officer, patrolman, lied.
We're getting a bad connection on that, I think, for some reason. Just a little bit. There we go. Say something else.
Okay. The highway patrolman himself misrepresented the facts.
No, not the California Highway Patrol.
Oh, yes. They're good.
Now. Yeah. Now, that's our police officers you're talking about.
I realize that, but we live in a training ground for them, young men. Mm-hmm. And basically, I've gotten tickets were completely erroneous.
What's the name? If you're willing to give it, what's David's last name so people who want to verify this can look at the court records?
His name is David Trujillo.
Trujillo, T-R-U-J-I-L-L-O?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Trujillo.
Well, continuing with this story, unless you have more you wanted to say about this, Jack, anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think I'm finished.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing was,
what you say, Rob?
The other arrests were pretty much minor, like under the influence charges. Well, I could walk in here, be under the influence, and would you be responsible for that?
No, and I think under the influence is depends. If you're driving, it's different. If you're walking, you have to be unable to take care of yourself.
Or others, but for some reason, if you're under the influence of a drug, they arrest you if you just have a trace amount.
Right. Controlled substances like meth, cocaine, heroin are considered to be no-nos. I don't have much sympathy with this whole legal system. On the other hand, these drugs, when abused, can produce deleterious effects in the neighborhood. And also, you know, we have the children, which is always used as the excuse. Well, and it's also a reason, you know,
But usually a drug house is somewhere that it's manufactured and sold. And that's not what's been going on at all.
Okay, well, here's more from the story. Maybe we can clear this up or get your perspective on it. Sheriff's deputy said the arrests are significant to the residents of the 100 block of Felton Empire Road, who have reported blight. Oh, there you go, blight. You guys are a blight, man. And drug activity at the house in the past few months. Three other people were arrested there in February, and county planning officials have red-tagged the home for an unsafe basement unit. That's the laundry room you mentioned.
That's the laundry room. And built in 1910.
And for having too many inoperable vehicles on the property. Just how many vehicles, Jack, do you have on that property?
I don't know. They all run, though.
There's actually a total of five vehicles sitting there on the property. All of them but one, which is a 62 Ford Falcon Ranchero, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
It is in the process of restoration. Now, there are many a person who has a car in their property that they're restoring. I don't see any problem.
So there's a bunch of white
that.
Trash in Felton that we're trying to get rid of.
This is true.
Why don't you guys just hit the road, man?
We'd like to.
They're
we're tired of
the
house.
White trash for cops too.
Yeah, well, that's what they're.
One of these people.
Ross is one of them.
One of these people that they arrested was myself. They arrested me for having a Norco that I had given a ride to Angel here the day before, and she happened to have opened her medication bottle and they spilled. She thought she had gotten them all up. There was one that remained behind.
What medication are we talking about, Angel?
Okay. Pain medication.
The yellow pain medication. My osteous arthritis.
And you have a prescription for
prescription
that medication?
For
can you prove it?
Yes, I did.
She has a blood
went,
test right here.
And they
her
dropped
blood test.
It.
They dropped it, but it's not mentioned in the press.
Well, it's very suspicious, but go ahead.
Yeah, they actually arrested me and took me to jail for having this as a controlled substance.
Now, were charges dropped against you, or are they still pending?
I went to court, and with Angel's help, she gave me a written statement, which I had notarized, and her proof of prescription, and presented this to the judge. What was her name? I can't remember offhand.
Department 1,
Department 2? It was Department 1.
That would be Connolly. Rebecca Connolly.
Yes. Yeah, very very new to the system. You could tell because she was reading footnotes quite often through the
learning on the job.
Yes,
and getting paid very well for it.
Yes, it seems that way.
Yes,
but yes, the charges were dismissed. However,
Sentinel didn't publish that. Did
minor
detail on the part of the urinal.
Yes, they can put in that I was arrested for it, but they can't put in what actually happened with it.
And again, your last name, so those who want to check on the accuracy of your narrative.
COX. Donald Cox.
Donald Cox. All right, so I'll skip any of the sexual references here.
Thank you. I've heard enough of them throughout my life.
Indeed. Do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I know Jack. Like Don was saying earlier, I've known Jack for a long time. He has helped people that were down and out, including me. I was one of them. I had been in a battle with Social Security for 4 years. I'd finally won. During that time, I was without any revenue of any kind. and Jack helped me by whenever I needed some money. He gave me some work to do. If he didn't have work, if he didn't have a project going, he had me work at his house or do something to where I could hold my head up and say, you know, I earned the money. Had he had not been there, I would have probably resorted to some illegal means of survival.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept one person from going bad, and that's me. So if it wasn't for him, I would have probably been working on the dark side.
So, Angel, what do you think? Is this reprobate telling us the truth?
He's telling the truth. I'm his old lady anyway, so I know.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. So, full confessions here.
So, now, Daddy Jack, they have really worried me by the way they've been doing it. They've been harassing him. They've been making him seem like, you know, he's got to be in a hurry to do this and to do that. But when he goes to do it, then, well, he's re-attacked. He can't do it because he can't go in and get it done because they don't want him in there. And then that brings his health down. That is what concerns me the most, is his health. And when they keep pushing at him and telling him he's got to do this, he's got to do that, and then, well, they can't be there. They got to be off the property. And, well, you got to be in court here. You got to be here at the meeting here, you know, and the community is to either try to keep him.
Run him ragged.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they've done everything, in my opinion, but fed the dirt on him. And I think they need to stop.
Now, what are the neighbors, other than the librarian you mentioned, say? Does he have any allies?
Well,
are people interested in standing up for him, or they just want this
Well, I think there's a lot of them that would stand up for him, but they're scared of the cops.
Right. And then you four are here today.
I ain't scared of none of them.
You'd probably be ticketed on the way home.
You know what? I'll shove a ticket.
That'd be me, because I'm the one driving.
Yeah.
So make it out of that, Sergeant Ross, if you see them driving by.
Yeah, but you know what? They do. They need to leave him alone, because they're making him sicker and sicker. Let him, because they gave him a statement stating that he had, first, 30 days, which from March the 8th to April the 8th, to get his permit.
Not 60 days, but 30 days.
30 days for the first thing.
Right.
And then he had 60 days to get all this other stuff done. Well, the first 30 days to get the permit, well, man, they was at his house twice a week, maybe three or four times a week. And then when they had arrested this David...
Apparently arrested him,
and then,
on what it turned out to be a bogus charge.
Yeah, but in the paper it also said that they was unclear where he lived, that they couldn't say that he lived there,
mm-hmm.
but it was unclear. But still, yet and then, they want to say he was the fourth one arrested as...
Now, what about the other three? Who are these other three ne'er-do-wells?
There's one person that was just out in the middle of the street that they saw, I don't know, half naked or something. Nobody seems to know who he is that's associated with the house, but somehow... They connected him with it. He got connected with the house. So,
well, he probably was one of your ilk. We know your ilk.
I think they paid him.
Hmm.
Oh, don't say
so
that.
So, what about the other two who were arrested? Let's hear.
The
about
other two was one was they weren't drug related. I don't think one was because they had somebody else's ID.
One had somebody else's ID, and the other one was for a taser.
Yeah, somebody had a taser.
Were any of these
and then he was. He had drugs on him and stuff, but they had that before they got there.
The gentleman who got arrested for having the taser, Jack helped him out because his vehicle was broke down on the street and he needed a place to park his motorhome to live in. Jack took him in to his backyard in his motorhome so he would have a place to get his motorhome off the street, which they had towed in. And the gentleman was living there because he needed a place to park his motorhome so he wouldn't be harassed by the law.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they come and go into his backyard and harass this gentleman and search his motorhome.
On what basis? Was he a felon? Did they have the search clause?
Yes, he's an ex-felon. He was off parole, though. So, I mean, he's done his time.
They found meth or... They claim to have found meth.
I believe they got him possibly for under the influence also, but their main objective was that they found a taser that he had buried in some of his
and
stuff.
And felons aren't allowed to have tasers?
No.
Okay, we Jack, you got a comment?
Yes, sir. We had a legal crop growing in the attic.
Of marijuana?
Yeah.
And you have a card?
Yes, I do.
And you, you have a condition? What do you use marijuana for?
Well, because my joints hurt.
Arthritis?
Yeah, my fingers are stiff.
Mm-hmm. Have you paid your money to get your doctor's recommendation and your state card?
And I also got...
Is it up to date?
It's up to date, yes, sir. It was up to date when they... destroyed the crop upstairs.
When did they do that?
Oh, the first time they came through.
February 2nd.
It was well posted. I don't have
February 2nd?
February 2nd.
And how many officers were involved in that particular raid?
I wasn't there.
Anybody there who saw it? No. Mm-hmm. No. Any reports? Any secondhand reports?
No, not really. I think it's down on a search warrant. They didn't leave the search warrant where you could find it. They never serve them. They just drop them on their way out, you know. But since then, I think, I don't remember which paper, they acknowledged that it was a legal crop. But when they searched...
A legal crop, not an illegal crop.
Yes, a legal
okay.
crop. It was one of the papers. And but so much falsehood on the information that's deliberately leaked to the Sentinel and other papers that, for example, one picture of me on the front
page, I'm
due to a parole violation or something that I've never been in prison. I've never been on parole. There's no end to the false information that's been.
But what is the you told me earlier that at one point you were a felon. You were convicted of a felony years ago.
I 20 some odd years ago, or more. I don't remember the time exact. I can't remember because of my brain damage. However. It's been way back when.
What was the charge and what was the conviction?
Possession of cocaine.
Possession of cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, no one has ever done that, you know.
No,
sure.
No, it's a rare thing.
You're a pretty vicious character.
I've seen cops do it.
No way.
Oh, yes.
Well, Sigmund Freud did it.
I've seen
another story.
Do it.
Yeah. Birds do it. Bees do it. Even
they used to have
everybody
cop.
Actually, I'm not recommending cocaine use for the casual person. By the way,
no.
And you are currently a cocaine user? Confession? No, no.
I don't do drugs because of my heart and stuff like that.
You do enough. You do drugs your doctor prescribes, I suppose. And that's
well,
probably
take
bad
a box
enough.
Full of them.
Yeah,
when they held me in the sun for 6 hours, I got skin cancer.
Now tell me about that incident. We talked about that earlier a couple days ago.
Right.
This was recently on February 2nd that this happened, and
I don't remember exactly the day they arrested me.
I think it was the
but
second.
I was walking
second?
Down to take my meds, and when I came down, I seen my the gal that takes care of me. Really, that she was there in cuffs, and they just made me sit in a chair in the sun, and I was in a short sleeve shirt.
How many deputies were there?
Oh, God. I couldn't count that. It was a ridiculous scene. It was just little old me sitting in that chair. Sergeant Ross had him hold me and staked out like in the sun, like it might be Korea or something. And
what did he claim he was there for?
I didn't mention. I asked him deliberately, "Are you going to seize that vehicle?" And he said, "Oh, Jack, I wouldn't seize your vehicle."
Did he say why he was on the property? Did he show you a warrant?
It was obvious why he was there. We was going to jail, you know.
Move the mic around.
Basically,
very good.
In 6 hours, my cancers on my arms swole up as high as a quarter of an inch.
Did you tell Sergeant Ross that you had this condition?
Oh, I told him, man, I need my meds. I didn't take them yesterday. They're right inside the door, officer. Would you kindly let me go get them, or would you mind handing them to me? He says, you just sit right there. So after 6 hours baking in the sun, my skin cancer got big. I go to jail on a charge of ammunition that was in the vehicle when I originally got it. Because I don't have any guns or anything because of that reason. And
which, by the way, the ammunition was rusted. That tells you how long it was in there.
So the problem is the way they treated me really in jail. That was one day down, and I spent about 3 days in there. So I had what they call a confusion. It's a minor stroke. It's basically... capillaries, I believe, as they explained it to me, in the brain, warning you there's a big one coming. So that's where I'm at.
You know, I'm just so grateful I got my boy to be 18 years old, which he is now.
You're expecting you might get some serious...
No, he weighs 347 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's 18. When he come on the scene with his buddies, it made the cops worried.
So the police came originally with a complaint based on what? What was their... What were they looking for? They were looking for ammunition?
Sent Ross back to the court, to Judge Umquist, to get a search warrant for the motorhome.
And they held you in the sun while he was doing that?
Yes, sir.
And did they originally come on the property? What did they say was their reason if they did?
Well, I don't recall. I believe they followed Edwina in, and she knew she shouldn't have been driving that car because of, she's on a suspended license.
Okay. Oh, so the crime was driving on a suspended license?
Right, that was a probable cause.
But for searching the property?
Well, that wasn't it. It was suspicion of having drugs, I guess. I don't know if
suspicion of having drugs. Let me continue with this article. We can hear we can celebrate the accuracy of the Sentinel here. Three other people were arrested in February. County officials have red tagged it. I think it's significant to the people in the community of Felton. Sergeant Mark Yanez, you know about him, said at the arrests, "We're hoping that through the criminal justice system and planning, it will be corrected so they can have a safe neighborhood." So are you causing a safety problem in the neighborhood, Jack?
Not to my knowledge. No, so if anything, I've been a benefit. I make multiple dump runs for other people. One, which is a banker, that one trailer was loaded with her stuff. She just lost her house. And
she's rushed forward to support you, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's why she's in the studio. But whoops, wait, she's not here.
Well, I wouldn't put her in that embarrassing position.
Better few people get in an embarrassing position than people get falsely charged. If, in fact, that what you're saying is accurate here and what your friends are saying.
Most of it is accurate, to the best of my knowledge. Right. There's other... my girl is from Australia, and she's in jail now for the problems with the drugs.
Is your girlfriend?
Yes, his girlfriend and my caregiver. And wonderful girl.
So, do you have an alternate caregiver at the moment?
No, I don't. My adopted daughter there looks after me.
Me?
Yeah. That concludes my story to the best of my ability at this time.
So, here's a key. I'm giving a... We have a caller. Maybe some questions will be raised here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with a whole bunch of people.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, are you on the radio live right now?
No, we aren't. The radio is not broadcasting, but we are streaming.
But you're what?
We're streaming on the internet right now at freakradio.org.
Okay. Are you going to be on the radio live pretty soon?
Not until we get some transmitter problems resolved. Hopefully in a few days, maybe in a week. But this show is being archived. And is this Sean, by any chance?
Okay, because I heard that there was going to be a Jack Smith was supposed to be on the radio.
There is, and he's in the studio smiling at me even as we speak. You want to say something about him? Or?
No, I don't want him to know it's me.
Uh-oh.
Well, hey, Gail.
Yeah.
We know it's you, Gail.
We already know.
I wanted to say he was a good man.
So, Gail, are you a local and from Felton? And how long have you known Jack?
About 10 years.
And why do you say he's a good man? I mean, the Sentinel doesn't like him. The deputies don't like him.
He gave a lot of the homeless people a place to live, and then they got their shit together, and then they went off and were better people.
And are you yourself, are you a homeowner yourself? Are you one of these ragamuffin homeless people I've heard so much about?
I'm not a homeless person. Nope. I'm just a neighbor.
You're a neighbor. And do the neighbors, how do neighbors generally feel about Jack, or is there a mixed opinion? Oh, so much for that. But thank you for calling in any case.
Actually, the time Jack helped us, we were homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not now, but we were. We were behind Quick Stop in Felton for 4 years in a bubble top van.
Wow.
And Jack and Quick Stop both helped us.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, continuing this tale here, at 11 a.m. Tuesday, near Kirby and Gushy Streets, deputies pulled over a silver Ford Bronco that had a temporary registration sticker on it, authorities said. The driver, Edwina Hardy, I guess you mentioned her before, mm-hmm. 53, told deputies she didn't have a driver's license. Deputy said her license was suspended for more than a year because of a DUI conviction. Now one would ask, is she a safe driver in your view?
Oh, absolutely. She's a great driver. Yeah. She learned in the bush. She used to be a school teacher.
What about this DUI conviction?
Well, I believe she had an alcohol problem. However, her history, she was a school teacher, and she taught the Aborigines in Australia. So she's a gallant gal that did skydiving, all kinds of wild stuff. She liked parasailing.
And she's currently in jail?
Yes.
For what, driving on a suspended license or drug charges?
What happened was that, well, primarily that, but she has a outdated Australian visa, I guess. But we've got her paperwork. I'm looking for an attorney that will petition the court to cut her loose from the Australian hold or whatever.
Immigration
hold. Thinking about deporting her.
Now, and what the story says, which you're not mentioning, I might add, is that the search of the vehicle yielded 18 grams of cocaine, 13 grams of meth packaged for sale, a scale, and $700 cash, deputies said. Hardy was arrested on suspicion of possessing drugs for sale and transporting drugs. What do you think, Jack? Is there something suspicious here? Not that I'm a big fan of the drug war.
I would say there's something suspicious, yes.
So you think that she might have been involved in this kind of business? You don't have to say anything when I ask you these questions. Yeah. Anything you say goes on record, so keep it in mind, right?
Sure.
You can say, I'm not going to comment at this time if you want. You know, don't feel obliged to.
Right. The car wasn't secure and it was left unlocked. And there had been other drug arrests on that Kirby Street property. So
was it her car?
It's really one I acquired for her when she got her driver's license. But she wasn't supposed to be driving it and she knew it. However, we all do things we shouldn't.
You think she's a drug dealer?
No.
You don't think so, Angel?
No.
How well do you know her?
I know her very well.
So you think that somebody else placed the drugs in the car?
I think they did, to be honest. But that's my opinion.
Right.
I think they did.
Okay. I mean, I didn't need the whole business.
Because there
have
been other people that have driven that truck also.
Yeah, I've lent it out quite a few times. And because of my inability to remember where I put stuff, my keys are always in the car.
In the visit, so.
Yeah.
He never takes them out.
I
hate
to double track and find out where I lost everything. And I do spend a good time of my time doing that.
According to this, she's been held in county jail in lieu of $25,000 bail. Authorities said she's in the country illegally. Immigration hold. The Bronco is registered to Hardy and Jack Smith, the owner of the home. Smith and Hardy lived in a motor home on the 100 block of Kirby Street. Tell me if any of these facts are false or incomplete.
Mostly accurate.
Okay. About a block from the Felton Empire Road property. Residents had also complained about blight, and by which they mean, what, five vehicles on the property or something? Or are you not mowing your lawn regularly? What's going on up there?
Well, the tree is the oldest tree in Felton, and it's dropping debris.
The tree is dropping debris?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure nobody's familiar with that in this kind of weather, but you can pick up limbs all the time. And I do maintenance work, so as a plumber and so on, I've got a little fittings and stuff like that, a lot of construction stuff, because that's how I've raised my boy.
Residents have also complained. A sheriff's deputy searched the motorhome Tuesday, found $300 cash and ammunition for several guns of different calibers, Yana said in a statement, but no guns were found, 2 pounds of marijuana. Smith had a medical marijuana license, and the pot was not seized.
It was seized, but it wasn't there when he went back
home. It just disappeared. Well, that can happen. I've heard of disappearing pot, particularly after deputies show up. That can, it's a mystery, you know, but still.
But he was kind enough to leave it behind, but he wasn't kind enough after they tore the place to hell and back to secure it. And I gave them the keys so they didn't tear into it, so they could unlock the door. And I come back, by leaving it wide open, I have lost computers, flat screens, and a tremendous amount of personal stuff. Watches, it's been ransacked from even to the extent of my clothes being gone. So it was very kind of them to leave me a hull to fix up, you know. It's
now, you were held in jail for how long?
I believe three days.
It was two days.
Two days.
And well, you mentioned while you were in jail, you were denied medicine. You denied your medication?
Absolutely. I finally said, look, I'm dizzy. My blood pressure's high. You want to get a doctor for me or get me my meds? So they didn't do it for 2 days. And then finally I rang the bell and explained to them I need to speak to the medical.
And when he...
Two things. I either need meds or I need my writ of habeas corpus.
Oh, and when they let him out, he had to go to the VA that night because of not having his medicines and stuff. He had to go to the VA.
How many hours did they deny you your meds?
Well, I didn't take them the day before. That's why I was arrested, because I was walking down there to get them because I was feeling kind of bad then, and that's when I seen Edwina there, okay? And they just told me to sit down over there, and I spent 6 hours asking for something to drink, and I was dehydrating.
Did they allow you a drink of water?
Not to my knowledge. They never gave me a thing to drink.
Of course, we're not in the middle of the summer, but you say it was in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in his sun. He's not supposed to be in his sun. He's supposed to have his medicines at all times. The doctor gave him these medicines to take at all times because he's got diabetes. He's supposed to have his medicine for diabetes, and if he don't, he can go into a diabetic coma.
What medicine are you taking for diabetes?
Well, I can't even remember them. It's something. Or, like,
but in any case, once you got to jail, how long after you were put into jail cells were you denied medicine after you requested it?
Well, after I requested the writ of habeas corpus forms, they gave me a Motrin, which has nothing to do with my condition. This is a
and how long before that you asked for the medicine, though, right?
Every day. Yes,
and
sir.
And how many hours or days would you say you were that request?
48 hours.
You would say that, Angel. 48 hours. And would you agree with that, Jack?
Possibly. She knows better.
And
than
then he missed a day before too. So by their situation, it was 48 hours.
Now, according to this story, they also arrested a Rachel McGuire, 40, and Lonnie Geist, 51, on suspicion of being under the influence of meth, authorities said. And the infamous Don Cox, we've heard about, and have in the studio with us, he may attack me at any moment, was arrested on suspicion of being under the influence of drugs. You mentioned that you got that was resolved. What about these other two? Are they still held in custody? Or?
Yes, they are. That's the gentleman that who lived in the motorhome in the back that Jack took in because their motorhome was broke down alongside the road and they needed a place to park it.
Okay. Well, sounds like quite a barrel of shit, so to speak. What's coming? What kind of support are you looking for from the community or from Free Radio audience? I would remind people that if you're listening on the stream, you can call in 427-3772, area code 831-427-3772.
Well, you know, the most scary thing about this is they can do this to him, try to get him out of his house, and basically take his house away. They can do that to anybody. They could do that to you. They could do that to any mom and pop store. They could do that to any individual that owns property. They've done it before. They did it during the abatement when we had Love Creek slide. They illegally took over 12 homes with the abatement back then, and they're using the same abuse of power against Jack.
I think there's a similar Crystal Terrace thing is happening in Santa Cruz where they're going after a, quote, drug house. Again, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's I want to be fair to those who are concerned about, you know, I don't know, people coming up and saying, hey, man, can I buy some meth here? You know, I mean, I don't know if that's what was happening around Jack's house. You know, I'm not...
Well, just according to the arrest, all that would tell me is that there were a couple of people that were high when they got there. I didn't see any substantial
and
possession
drugs,
charges.
Well, drugs were found inside the, Edwina's van or the van that Jack...
But that's not related to the house because they didn't live at the house at the time.
I see. And Jack just happened to be the owner of the vehicle.
It happened to be... So he
just went on and started using that as related to the house.
Guilty by association.
Yeah.
More or less. But here's proof that we're starting repairs. So that's the plumbing deficits.
Action Plumbing and an invoice dated March 20th about work being done, $970 worth of work on various, presumably, improvements to the property, which, of course, because I'm a complete novice, I can't tell. You must have forged this right before the show, right, Jack?
And we have a German electrical contractor that's going to help us with the permits and so forth. So,
what's in store for you? You've got this hearing coming up on the 30th. You've got a hearing, a red tag abatement hearing, too? What's going on with that?
It's basically they're trying to force us to be more or less off the grounds.
By when?
It's a complaint for temporary restraining order, preliminary injunction, permanent injunction, civil penalties, penalties, cost, and attorney's fees.
And when is the hearing on that?
The 30th of this month, March.
So it's really close.
And do you have an attorney helping you?
Well, I had one, and I paid him, and he seemed to get wound up in a bit of trouble himself, and he's afraid to go in the courtroom, I think. He stood me up now about three times.
Who's the attorney, if you want to say?
Well, I think he's got enough troubles without me pointing a bad finger at him.
Because I know in an injunction you don't get a public defender. That's one of the cagey tricks that the district attorney's office uses to go after people and deny them a defense.
Yeah, I'm actually next to destitute now, see. But they confiscated. Duena Collective was helping me run those.
This might drive you to drugs.
I know. It doesn't drive me to drink. I can't wait.
As well, yeah.
Any event, she had on her $700 of our rent money. Naturally, they took that.
You'll get that back maybe in 50 years if you're a good boy.
Then it won't be worth the papers written on.
Well, don't remind me of the facts, okay?
The atrocity of this whole thing, of them red-tagging the house, is the fact that they red-tagged two of the units that there was nothing wrong with them. The only places they found any problems was with the main house itself. The two separate apartments that he had renters in that were paying their rent, they red-tagged them, therefore they had to move out. So now Jack has no income on this property at all to do the repairs that he's supposed to be taking care of.
Plus, he's supposed to pay for the alternate rent for these people for the period of time when they can't be in the house.
He could if they wanted to go that far. Fortunately, these people are gracious enough to know what kind of bind Jack is in, and they're not asking that.
But I understand county officials are urging them to do that.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
They're actually giving advice as an attorney, legal advice, on what they can do to make it harder on the poor old landlord. Mm-mm. And they solicited one individual that couldn't make it tonight because of his driving. I can show you a way of getting 3 months free money out of your attorney. And now, that's giving legal advice without a license, in my opinion.
Now,
and, you know, it's so damned unjust. There's people losing their houses every day because I do their dump runs. And if they don't have the money, I'll pay to get them in.
You know, I hope you keep keep giving us reports here on a regular basis about other people who are having problems up in Felton, even as you go through these difficulties yourself, which probably you won't have the time or energy to do, but maybe one of you could kind of call in and give an update and say, well, there's some other problems up in Felton, do a Felton report, and that would be helpful so we could get a sense of what's going on up there.
We really got going here. There's one particular writer for the Sentinel. What would you call it?
Sentinel? Urinal?
Urinal?
Yeah.
Sentinel, as I like to call it.
Yeah. I like that. But he gets hand delivery practically on anything I believe Sergeant Ross gets a hold of. My picture has been over and over and over. There's no way they can get it. It's out of my jail card. And, it's ridiculous. If you're no longer innocent until proven guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt in this country, like I learned in the eighth grade of constitutional United States.
Never been true for poor people. For wealthy people, you're, you know, what the phrase is, guilty until proven wealthy.
Well, the thing, too, is, you know, really felt like anywhere else has its share of drug problems. One example is somebody was stabbed under the covered bridge last summer mm-hmm. in a drug deal. And what amazes me is the sheriff's department has not spent one-tenth of the time on that, where somebody was almost killed, as they are on red tagging this house.
That's right.
Well, the house is a blight. We don't want his kind around here.
Wasn't being stabbed under a bridge a blight?
Well,
yeah, one got away, one got caught.
A little stabbing here and there.
One got away, one
They're making
got
a stab
caught.
At us, you know.
Well, yeah, basically, you know.
I just say this much.
We don't want the sheriffs trying to take our citizens' houses. We want them to protect us from the criminals that are out there stabbing
oh,
people.
Oh, you dreamer, you.
I know. That's just, I'm a,
he
I'm,
has a dream, folks.
Yeah, I know.
He has
I'm
been
a traditionalist.
To the mountain. Well,
yeah,
Angel, thoughts?
But, yeah, my thought is, I think that if they keep on continue doing what they're doing, my dad's health is going to be a whole lot worse than what it's gotten. And in the last 2 weeks, I've seen it go damn bad. I mean, night before last, he was so sick, he stayed at my house.
Talking about Jack?
Yeah. Oh. He's my dad to me. Because he's been there for me for over 7 years.
Spiritual father?
Well, yeah.
I really get sick when I don't take my pills.
And he gets real sick, and it worries me.
My balance goes, my vision's messed up. So that...
Hooked on prescription drugs, in other words.
Oh, yeah, they're all VA prescribed.
Yep. VA prescribed.
Big
That's
boxes
a
of them. You know,
hopefully they're helping you, though.
Well, I maintain better with them than I do without them.
Well, I'm going to call it, unless there's something you want to sum up. Again, March 30th, 1 o'clock in Department 4, is that
Department
right?
Department 4, right.
Is when the hearing continues on this issue. I'm hoping that either you... Rob, or you, Don, or maybe you, Angel, will give a call in. I don't expect you to, Jack, because I think you've got all your energy probably taken up with other stuff. And give a weekly Felton report. You can do it on Thursday evening, 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. And you can also do it on Sunday mornings. I have a longer show, 9:30 to 1 in the afternoon. So think about that. And you've got my number here.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear from you regularly on what's cooking up there.
All right.
And
I'm sorry.
No, they're not harassing him. They're harassing the homeless.
They are.
I want to hear about that.
Oh, yeah. I have one friend of mine.
There was supposed to be another lady here who went through the same thing.
Say that again?
That other lady was supposed to have been here.
Yeah.
She couldn't get out of Highway 9, I guess. But her and her man have been through the same thing.
Yeah, they done her the same way and get kicked her out.
How about next time you give us a report on the homeless, what's going on up there? Maybe, you know, be as specific as you can. Talk about what you've seen, what's going, what's cooking. Maybe on Sunday you can come in and do some of that.
Okay.
Sure.
Sunday morning.
Bring Tootsie.
Yeah, we bring Tootsie. She can tell, too.
All right.
Bring Donnie.
She's a lot smarter.
She's the one who...
And we will take a musical break. Last chance to ask any questions to Jack and the company here, because they're about to brave the rain again. I think it's probably raining outside. It doesn't sound like it's raining too hard, so that's good. I want to thank you, Angel, Rob, Don, and Jack, for coming to talk on the air. And if what you tell me is true, and I have no way of knowing other than your accounts, you know, I wish you well in this, and I wish you well even if it isn't true. So there.
Well, what will be, will be.
And anybody out there that is teetotally got a heart, come to the community and speak on behalf of Jack.
At what time and what day?
6 o'clock on the 28th on Tuesday.
And that will be at what address?
Felton Firehouse.
And where is that?
In Felton.
In Felton.
On the corner of Kirby and Gushy.
Kirby and Gushy.
Whoa, that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, right across from the pizza place.
Hey, man. I mean, woman. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you all for coming, Jack.
Thanks for taking
the trek to the studio. And I will now be giving us a musical break, at which point I will return to recorded interviews. You guys can hang if you want, but, you know, feel free to do what you wish.
All right. Thank
you. Don't go outside and have a cigarette.
I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. Safeguard the farmers and widows and orphans, singing I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. When dust storms are sailing, crops they are failing, I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. I check on your shortage and bring down your mortgage, singing I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. When money you're needing, mouths you are feeding, I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker. I'll plaster your home with a furniture loan, singing I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. If you show me you need it, I'll let you have credit. I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. Just bring me back two for the one I lent. Jolly banker, jolly banker am I. When your car you're losing, and sadly you're cruising, I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. I'll come and foreclose, take your car and your clothes, singing I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. When bugs get your cotton and times they are rotten, I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. I'll come down and help you, I'll rape you, I'll scalp you, singing I'm a jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. A jolly banker, a jolly banker am I. A jolly banker, a jolly banker am I.
And that was the Jolly Banker, and Jack the Jolly evictee, or we'll hope he's not the evictee, is leaving the studio. And again, if you want to hear this whole thing again, you can go to huffsantacruz.org, where it will be available. And that'll be in about a day, because it takes about a day to download. You're tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, freakradio.org. And you are also, hopefully at one point, we'll get back on the air at 101.1 FM. And that should be coming, who knows, sooner than we think. Right now, however, we ain't on the air, and that's a pity. But if we can still be reached by phone, in case you want to, if you have comments or thoughts, or similar things happening to people in your neighborhood, they're getting bounced out in the drug war. People are being made homeless because they are being kind to homeless people and then getting hassled by the upscale, gentrified neighbors nearby. Although I don't really know, we haven't had the neighbors on this show, and so they haven't had a chance to present their perspective. Anybody wants to come on the show and talk about their perspective, you can give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and hey, we'll make some time and place for you in the studio. Let's get some street interviews now before all the time disappears.
Lopez, a street musician here representing Santa Cruz and the street musicians of Santa Cruz and the awesome street music scene. That's
Ricardo Lopez speaking.
People should really, really appreciate
that. In front of Del Williams.
Yep, Santa Cruz is one of a kind.
Now, what's going on here? I understand we have questionable people walking by, like the evil Mark, who I've seen before.
Yeah, I'm undercover tonight.
He's undercover. So, what's been happening river-wise? I understand the river rose last night?
The river is very, very, very high. All of us who are sleeping under the bridge, and of course, keeping it clean, even though some people are dirty, most of us are clean and clean up other people's stuff, but the river is very, very high. It looks like a lot more rain. But you know what I think? I think it's not a late winter. This is an early spring. This is a La Nina year. Just for the next couple weeks, it's going to be nothing but But rain, and then it's going to be summer.
Have you heard anything about the waiting list situation for people who are trying to get on the waiting list of the homeless service center to avoid sleeping band tickets?
Impossible to get a room. Oh, if you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. But let's face it, if you're healthy and can walk, don't have anything wrong with you, you're not going to, yeah, you better, you know, come on, there are people with HIV out here. There are people with cancer out here.
Well,
there
I catch
are people,
your drift about taking yeah. people shelter, but the idea of getting on the waiting list is not actually...
Even if you're on the waiting list, you'll never get on.
Right, but it's not actually to get into shelter, because that's unrealistic. But it's if you're on the waiting list, your tickets will be dismissed. That's the promise of the city attorney. Have people been able to get on the waiting list for that purpose?
You know, they probably can. You know, they probably can. The thing is, those tickets, if you don't have a driver's license or you don't have credit, they send them to credit. Yeah, I just you know, those are harassment tickets. They really, what they need to do, think of all the money they're wasting taking those, even the time they're taking to court, the clerk that has to type those tickets out. They're wasting money sending those tickets for people who are only going to cost the city money. Now, shouldn't they think of setting aside a camping area that people can keep clean, blah, 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 put, it must be much cheaper to get a few porta potties and have a camping area.
Oh, wait a minute. That was tried by the evil Ed Fry. We know what happened with that particular thing. It was overrun by these strange sheriff's deputies who came and gave tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's ridiculous. Tickets, you know, I mean, yeah, and let's face it, all of these, okay, I'm the black sheep of a professional. They're California bureaucrats. Mexicans work for the California government. They're all lawyers and stuff now. They still work for the government. And, you know, sitting around every time I go visit them, it's budget, budget, budget. Everybody's been cut. People have been laid off. They've had furlough days, so they're making one-tenth less. They have more work, less money, less time to do it. Yeah.
It ain't a good situation. You know, it's interesting. The city attorney is now asking for an additional $100,000 from the city council on Tuesday to deal with municipal code violations. It's not clear whether he means tickets they're giving homeless people or maybe tickets they're giving to people for rental inspection.
And actually, it became clear, although I didn't get to that council meeting because it was held again at a later time. Mayor Coonerty is always moving around the council meeting time, which makes it difficult to be able to schedule time to come to these meetings. Yeah, the meeting of the city council most recently was 2 days ago, right after the Project Connect ended across the street. I'm not sure if that was intentional or not. But in any case, this issue about the city attorney's getting $100K for municipal code violations. Turns out that he was getting even more money. And as the story the next day in the Sentinel had a different figure, and I'm looking for that figure now so I can pass it on to you. Becky Johnson passed it on to me. Here it is. Barrasoni gets another $225,000 for prosecuting code enforcement violations and defending lawsuits against proposed city water service expansion for UC Santa Cruz growth. Barrasoni, that's our city attorney, said his firm performs 15 hours of code violation prosecutions each month under the firm's $622,000 annual retainer before hourly charges of $215 to $225 kick in. The retainer covers services by 8 lawyers and several staff members. Now, we wondered if these municipal code violations that Barrasoni is so busy prosecuting are rental inspections or public nuisance because of, you know, dangerous properties. And that seemed to be what the staff report was saying. However, I asked Vice Mayor Don Lane, who is running around the Project Connect event, which is a large event about giving services to homeless people that happens once a year, and, you know, hats off to Lane and others for doing it, although, again, a once-a-year charity event always has a certain kind of phony quality to it. It's nice to train all the volunteers, and everybody feels good for the one day. And it does provide people with an opportunity to get driver's licenses and deal with some problems. But once a year, I thank you very much. You know, the rest of the year, people get the kind of treatment, apparently, that puts them in situations where they have to face problems like Jack Smith and the people around Jack Smith are facing. Suspended driver's licenses, no place to go, harassment by deputies and sheriffs. So, you know, that's fine. But in any case, I talked to Don Lane. He agreed, and this is kind of rare for Don Lane, to pull this item off the agenda so that it could be discussed before just simply being rammed through. Although it was rammed through, of course. That goes without saying. You know, Don is reasonable, but would he actually raise his voice against this stuff? No, I think not, and certainly not vote against it. However, apparently, and I'll be playing this on Sunday when the show does a longer version, when I have a longer version of the show in the morning. There was some discussion, and it's mentioned in this article in the paper. It wasn't simply, you know, for some sort of obscure code violations. It was for camping tickets and other items. So, for example, Coonerty says, well, Barisoni requested this money, including cracking down on overnight camping, collecting overdue hotel taxes and other business fees, and pursuing public nuisance charges against the owner of a Crystal Terrace home that neighbors say has attracted drug sales, somewhat similar, perhaps, to the Jack Smith situation. But again, I haven't researched that very closely. We have directed the city attorney to go after people who are repeat offenders, people constantly getting tickets downtown and disrupting social life downtown and in neighborhoods, Coonerty said. He also requested additional funding to extend extraterritorial water service to an undeveloped portion of UCSC, half of which is reimbursable. So it sounds like a slush fund for UCSC. And then the $125,000 to cover lawsuits to block the water extension called for in a 2008 settlement between the UCSC city and county, something I'm not too clear on. But the fact is, this is being used, perhaps, it sounds like this. There was a whole bunch of tickets given to Peace Camp 2010 peaceful protesters for First Amendment activities, sleeping at night. There was no legal shelter at that time. There still is no legal shelter for 95% of the homeless population. And yet they are giving out citations, wasting city money, essentially to try to stop the spotlight that protesters are putting on this issue. And protesters are now facing jail time for this, as well as a whole slew of infraction tickets. And the city taxpayers are going to be paying a couple extra $100,000, some of which is going to go to this $215 to $225 an hour boondoggle that Barisoni is doing. We can call it Barisoni's boondoggle. Why not? In any case, it's your money as that's going down, and it's wild and crazy. I'm also kind of an update. Barisoni was presented by a Public Records Act request by Casey, one of our Huff members, to determine a couple of things. One was how many tickets have actually been dismissed by the city attorney because of the waiting list exemption that he's supposed to follow. If you're on a waiting list for the Homeless Service Center, you're not supposed to get tickets for that night. It's kind of obscure. Why would that have anything to do with it? Wouldn't the fact that there's no shelter be the actual reason, if there's any reason, aside from the fact that you should have a constitutional right to sleep somewhere, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. But if there's no place to go, they cannot legally charge you with this stuff. So it's going to be dismissed in court. So what's all this crap about a waiting list? There's some sort of additional PR device for the Homeless Service Center's Monica Martinez and her climb to stardom? I don't know. I say that because I've noticed Monica Martinez seems to be reluctant to engage in straight conversation on these issues. She hasn't emailed me the answers to questions I've been putting to her month after month, relatively simple questions. How about a letter that states, I've asked that you have no shelter, and that is generally the case during the summer. She won't do it, even though it's true, even though her employees say it's true, even though they've sworn under penalty of perjury in court that it's true. There is this determination, I don't know whether it's to lick the butts of the police department and the city attorney by not clarifying that the camping ban is abusive behavior and the Homeless Service Center is colluding with it, or whether she's simply feathering her own nest by trying to, you know, to drag people into homeless service center pseudo services. This waiting list is a pseudo service. There's no place for people to be, the overwhelming majority of them. And the idea that there is, I don't know, was she trying to garner grant money by proving that there's a larger homeless population? You know, if she were direct about it and say, you know, maybe we can get some more grants by doing this. We have to be honest with you. We don't have places. We think that the sleeping ban is a criminal conspiracy against poor and homeless people. It shouldn't be there. If she were honest and said what other homeless advocates in other cities say, then it would be okay to say, but we'd like you to come and get on our waiting list so we can increase our grant situation, you know, so we can get some more money, that some of which may trickle down or tinkle down to the homeless. Not in terms of any meaningful shelter, the most important need that homeless people have, but, you know, I don't know, so they can put in some more lockers, which I understand they're now tearing out, and they're going to dump everybody's stuff. I don't know if that's true. That was one thing I heard this last yesterday at their day before yesterday at Project Connect. I haven't confirmed it or denied. I'd like to get more information about it from anybody out there who might know details. And again, if you do, 427-3772. 427-3772 is the call-in number here if you'd like to call in. So the public records that have been requested, Barisoni has apparently wants to charge $34 so we can look at them. My response is, no, we don't pay a dime to look at public records. Maybe if we want to make copies, we'll pay something, although he's trying to charge 25 cents a page, which, of course, is far in excess of the real copying costs of documents. And so it's, again, an attempt to make it difficult for people to get access to public records. This is just, although it's standard operating procedure, it's simply wrong. And had we the legal muscle, we would hopefully be able to show it's wrong. Though, again, there's always the question of you're dealing with a corrupt legal system, an unresponsive legal system, a bureaucratic legal system, a slow legal system, a right-wing reactionary legal system, a legal system weighted for the rich. So that's always a problem as well. Let's continue now with interviews from the street. I believe Ricardo Lopez, the street musician, was talking.
That sort of thing. You know, here's the thing. If you get a ticket and you go down there to make a date for the ticket, especially if you don't have any money, they say, even if you do, they say, look, we can't put you on the calendar yet. Come back in 2 or 3 months and we'll see if we can. They give you a piece of paper.
Interesting. When was the last time you did that?
The last time someone did that was, I'm going to say, 3 months ago.
And what he's talking about is not the Homeless Service Center, but the courts. So while the police officer will tell you, you should go down in a month and get a court date for this sitting on the sidewalk, this sleeping ticket, this, you know, being in at City Hall after dark ticket, or after 10 o'clock, where it's illegal, then you go in a month later and you find, no, come back in 2 or 3 months. And here's a piece of paper that indicated you come in. Now, the court will give you a piece of paper. But if you go into to sign up on the waiting list at the Homeless Service Center, they will not give you any evidence that you're on the list. So you can't show it to a police officer and say, officer, you know, on March 2nd, I signed up. I believe I'm on the waiting list. Please don't ticket me. It's going to be a waste of your time and the city attorney's and the tax money that's paying you both. Plus, you're going to harass me. You're going to force me to move. Leave me alone. I have nowhere else to go. Or give me a legal place to go. Of course, that's not happening. And it won't happen until people get together and start doing something. Although I must say, at the last Huff meeting, Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, and we meet every Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 10:30 in the morning, 7:03 Pacific at 10:30 in the morning. There was a group formed to consider setting up a tent city when the armory closes on, it's either the 3rd or the 4th of April. It's going to close early this year. Apparently they don't have the money to go to the 15th, is what I've heard from none other than Vice Mayor Don Lane, or Gon Lame, as I like to call him. So there is this group that is forming. In case you're interested, I believe they're having a meeting at 11 o'clock tomorrow at the Sub Rosa, a special kind of subcommittee meeting to talk about the possible a Peace Camp 2011, a tent city, a Coonertyville, whatever you want to call it, here in Santa Cruz, and see if they, that is something that people want to do, people want to risk arrest, people have the resources to. Some people are talking about supporting it with food. As far as I know, it's still simply an idea. But if it interests you and you want to talk about it, check out the Sub Rosa Cafe tomorrow at 11 in the morning. And I understand that's where they're meeting. Becky Johnson and others are meeting there. Just say, where's that Huff Tent City meeting? And then the people will tell you where to go once you get to 703 Pacific. So, back to Ricardo Lopez.
That you know of, right?
Yep. Yeah, a guy who lives under the bridge right now.
And he has he got a ticket some months before, went down and tried to get a court date?
Yep, and they told him, come back in 2 or 3 months. They never filed it. It was for being down by the river. And the cop that came down and gave us tickets was brand new, and she was a blue shirt. And then they've never given us tickets since then because, frankly, I mean, especially, what are they going to do? It's just going to cost them money. They don't have any money. It's just ridiculous. It's just going to cost them money.
And apparently they don't mind going to city council and getting another 100 G's or another 225 G's for the city attorney's office to pursue this kind of crap.
Put on appeal so they can issue more tickets.
Yeah, I know. Every time they issue a ticket, some overworked California bureaucrat has to file it, even if it's in a computer. Somebody's got to type it into the computer.
There you have it. Yeah. We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez. I'm the son of a California bureaucrat, and let's see, I have four brothers and sisters.
We're going to evade the rest of this family history. Thank you, Ricardo.
Bureaucrats for California.
Thank you.
I want to hear that. Yeah, I'm here with Jack Smith here in a coffee shop in Felton. It's Mark.
This actually, what I was about to play is the actual original Jack Smith interview. But since we actually had him live in the studio, I am going to go beyond that interview, though he was quite articulate both in this earlier interview and as you heard, those of you who are here listening to the last hour, his discussion of his own difficulties as they attempt to evict him and others from a house in Felton right at the start of Empire Grade. Again, I've only gotten his side and the side of his friends, but my inclination is to it sounds pretty credible to me, you know, at first blush. You know, it's hard to say what really is going down. I'm going to do another quick musical aside, and then we'll be back.
Stolen crowns sit easier on the head. Or Ethiopia's band of
And that was another number from the Jolly Banker's Death and Taxes. And that particular number was Ways of the Gangsters, Langston Hughes. You're tuned to Free Radio Stream, freakradio.org. It's a nasty weather out there, and luckily I'm dry, but I got to wade through the water to get to the studio. Oh, boy. The trials of a radio broadcaster. Let's get back now to Project Connect, which was a day-long 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. event. Maybe it was a 3 p.m. event. It was somewhere in there. 4 p.m., actually. And it was held at the Civic Auditorium. I think it's an annual event, though I think someone's told me maybe it's going to happen twice this year, where homeless people could hook up with all kinds of services, and even Huff was allowed a table. Now, when we showed up, there was one very dedicated Huff volunteer who wanted to go the whole day. He was going to go for 7 hours from, well, actually, it wouldn't be 7 hours, it would be 6 hours, from 10 to 4. And I stayed with him for part of the time, and Becky Johnson, another Huff activist, for another part of the time, and Coral Brune, singer at large and a free radio broadcaster, was also providing entertainment along with Mama Val next to the table, which we ended putting up outside. And the one day that was a break in the rain, beautiful weather, that was on Tuesday, and we had a lot of space, we had a lot of kind of opportunity to talk to people. But they originally wanted to shovel us off into this little room off to the side, which was this, a little bit bigger than a shoebox, I suppose. It was sort of like a closet, where they also stuck me with Pastor Dennis Adams, who actually is a nice guy, and he was a brave and a bold fellow too. He fed homeless people for quite a period of time, until he was driven out of Santa Cruz off into the homeless service center's ghetto area, and you're going to hear me talking with him about various things now.
Huff table of the Project Connect, surrounded by ragamuffins, ne'er-do-wells, and indigents, and a homeless gangsters and their malls, I notice. And we're talking with...
Susan Long.
Susan, so you've been to jail 7 times on the same ticket?
Yep, I was, yeah.
Actually, this is a bit before the Dennis Adams interview, but don't go away.
Here, I just leave it on my bike.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I told the judge, because I kept getting failures to pay and to pay my fine.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, well, I could pay my fine, work it off with community service. But community service was $80 to sign up for. And I said, well, if I can't pay my fine, what the hell makes you think I could pay the fee?
Well, come on, what are you being unreasonable again? Don't you understand? All you have to do is stay awake most of the month.
All month.
And that way...
They don't want you doing drugs, so you got to stay awake on your... Yeah.
Well, do drugs, but do them discreetly. Come on, let's get it together.
And anyway, so what they ended up doing is I got away with it because the homeless garden helped me with it. So they worked with me to get my stuff done. So I'm good on that now, and I'm all legal.
So you say you actually went to jail 7 times?
7 times, same camping ticket.
And how? And what years did this happen?
I would say it was like 2005, 6, and 7.
And so are you still sleeping outside?
No. I was finally approved for SSI, and I have an RV now. But I also, in that, I used to own a school bus just before this, and I got... One of the people from KLION News was doing a thing about people sleeping on the tracks and doing drugs, and my school bus was sitting by the parish pub.
In a drug zone, I see.
Well, they said that they wanted to clear all the drug dens, so I was being accused of being a drug den. Well, of course, in my little tiny short bus, I had, meth labs and...
An eyesore and a drug den, and a poor person!
Me.
Shocking.
Right, yeah. And I was parked at my church, the Circle Church, on Thanksgiving, and somebody came by on a bicycle and screwed sheet metal screws in the sidewalls of all my tires on the
sending
back.
You a message,
saying,
homeless person,
saying,
get the fuck out of town.
She said, get off the west side, fat Sue. Be fat.
You're chunky, but you're lovable.
That's
you.
What I say.
From one chunky woman,
right.
A man to a chunky woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And he, yeah, so I was definitely screwed on the tire situation, but Lloyd's Tires helped out a lot.
Now, did you, in fact, vacate the west side after this terror attack?
No.
And did you get a further, shall we say, donation to your tires?
I got a beer bottle thrown through my back window on New Year's Eve.
And are you still on the west side tempting fate?
Yeah.
Would you like to give the vigilantes of Take Back Santa Cruz or other groups your exact address so they can come and visit you again with their little greetings?
No. No, I'm off the highway now.
Did you know who did? I see. So you did vacate the west side.
Well, I come back during the day.
I see.
I mean, but I try to keep things, you know, even with the police, I drove around for 4 years with no driver's license, and they all just turned their heads on that one.
Now, did you complain to the police about these vigilante attacks?
Yeah, I reported
did they
everyone.
Did find the culprit who was doing it?
Heavens, no. No. Uh-huh.
They will have no, you know, be faithful,
I just,
be.
You know, karma's a bitch, and these people are
no
getting right in the butt.
Mm. Great. Well, we've been talking with, of course,
Susan Long.
Thank you, Susan. And may they not screw you again, so to speak.
In that way, yeah.
We're talking with
Diane Patricia Gordon.
And you're here in line. You're in a wheelchair at the moment for dental work?
Yes, I broke a tooth.
What kind of dental work are they offering in line?
I'm not sure. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to see. So far, it's been 100%. Everything that I've asked for that I needed, 100% right to me.
Now, you were with Peace Camp 2010 for quite a while.
Yes, for a solid month.
And that was in front of the county building.
Yes.
And what was that experience like for you?
Oh, goodness. It would take a storybook to tell.
You do.
Yes, I will. You know I will. Mostly it was there for to be able to rest. Rest is so important. If you sleep, you can heal. And I was there because the camping ban is so rough to be woken up in. But so far, I've had very, very good luck. I mean, not.
Have you been camping outside?
Off and on, yes, in between.
Have the police found you?
Yes, they have. And they know that I'm medically impaired here, and they have been very nice.
So you haven't gotten any tickets?
No, they've saved my life, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, excellent. When did that happen?
It's probably once or twice a week. They have to pull up and make sure I'm okay, because people swarm me. And
what is the medical condition you're having that's, you know, giving you problems?
I have COPD, and I have congestive heart failure, and arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and giving up on me.
Now, I think you left Peace Camp before they started ticketing people. Right?
Yes, I did. I left the night when they came in.
So you were able to use the Peace Camp area for a month.
A solid month, and I healed from a pacemaker. They put in a pacemaker, and I was able to lay there and rest. I didn't leave for a solid month, and I got my health back. So.
You know, scurrilous, homeless bums who are in front of the county building actually help you?
Being able to rest helps me without being, you know, asked to move. The police were very nice. I feel bad that they were so, that people yelled things at them that it wasn't their fault. It was their boss's fault. And I want everybody to be okay. I want peace for all.
Here. We've been talking with?
Excuse me?
Again, we've been talking with?
Diane Patricia Gordon.
Thank you, Diane. So I'm here in the obscure cubicle off to the side of the...
Before we get into the obscure cubicle off to the side, which is where, of course, Dennis Adams and I were placed to keep us kind of firmly out of the way, or maybe that was the kind of the last choice. I'm not sure what their deal is. Diane Gordon was one of the women who successfully used the month-long Peace Camp 2010 breathing space that was created by Ed Fry and other Huff activists like myself and Becky and then a bunch of homeless people, Kerbucker Chris, Gary Johnson, Colette Connolly, and others, who stayed there and established essentially a safe zone for homeless people. Ed Fry would bring the porta potty during the night, which was rented thanks to the philanthropy of Paul Lee, and he would take it away in the morning, and we would encourage people to sign petitions. We'd encourage people to support Peace Camp 2010, support essentially changes in the law that would allow people to sleep legally, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. And that went on for a month, and then they started cracking down, gave citations, harassed people. And then there actually are now more than 40 to 50 misdemeanor citations for so-called lodging, state penal code that have been given, and I've talked about this in other shows, and they're going to trial in April. If you want more information, you can go to the Peace Camp 2010 website. Just kind of search, use a search engine, whether it's Bing or Google, whatever, to go for, look for Santa Cruz Peace Camp 2010, and you'll find the website, Peace Camp 2010, which has many articles and stories about it, and hopefully we'll have some more recent updates soon. Now let's hear more from me and Dennis Adams in the little cubicle off to the side at Project Connect day before yesterday.
The Love Foundation's area for, I guess, what actually happens in here, Dennis?
We're actually putting together professional resumes for people that are marginalized or homeless so they can take it to a job area.
With all the jobs around and available, that's, of course, a wonderful service to be providing, and a particularly relevant one at this time of low unemployment. Of course, there's high unemployment, but the problem is that there's a high lack of jobs as well.
That's true.
And later on, when I visited Dennis in this room, he had done very few resumes. They were really shoveled off into a corner, and it was I don't know whether it was intentional or just negligent or whatever. But it was a very small space, very much out of the way, not part of the main kind of thoroughfare. The large Civic Auditorium, major activity happened in the Civic Auditorium itself. It was far away from the food. It wasn't even outside where people could walk by as they came and went with their bicycles or just walking from the main entrances. It's, that's what the story was for old Dennis. I luckily escaped that room, went outside, and did some huff tabling with Casey and Becky, then later throughout the morning and afternoon.
Writing jobs, you're providing pieces of paper for people to take in fruitless search of work.
Well, sometimes it's just good to have that confidence to where they have something in writing that they can show an HR specialist. So, you know, it's something that we feel is good. Plus, we're also giving, you know, opportunity for them to call all over America to DMVs or other areas to be able to connect with their families and be able to speak for 15 minutes to a half hour if they want and be able to talk with people and have an opportunity to share or to get information that they can use for their resume.
Now, you aren't just a once-a-year Project Connect warrior. You, every week you show up with hot dogs and other edibles at the Homeless Service Center at a new time. It used to be around noon. Now it's around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's at 4 o'clock now. We change
on Sunday.
On Sunday at 4. You know, we certainly would love the early hour, but we went to the later hour because I'm also doing a care center up in San Pablo, deep in the urban area.
Thank you. You're going to call me back.
Hey, Danny, I hear you've been looking for me.
Yeah, I was just outside.
So, Dennis, you're actually not just a helpful human being. You have a title. You are a pastor.
Yes, I am a pastor. Been a pastor for 33 years. And
you've actually done a lot of work feeding people regularly in Santa Cruz, often over the opposition of certain downtown merchant groups.
Yeah, we did. We served on the street for a long time in Santa Cruz, bringing food to people that literally needed food. You know, that definitely when you're getting, to use the term that so many do know, dumpster diving, and you're pulling out stuff, or you're watching a person on the street.
We don't allow dumpster diving anymore in Santa Cruz. It's too dangerous. You see, the sanitation department might compact you by mistake. They make these little mistakes every now and then.
Yeah, they work pretty quick on the mall. If you've seen them, I know they throw those garbage cans to and from across.
And then when there's a problem, of course, they have to point out that it's really the responsibility of the person sleeping inside the dumpster not to get crushed. Things like, you know, knocking on the dumpster and saying, is anybody there before we crush the dumpster? Apparently, a little beyond the... Maybe they need some resume work, those dumpster workers.
You know, I'll tell you, when somebody's cold, and it's cold out at night, and we see a lot of people have died in the last several years in Santa Cruz. Both you and I have seen that in the newspaper because they didn't have a place to warm to sleep. You know, I think that if I was out on the street and I was cold and I looked at a dumpster, I'd climb in myself and try to get some
warmth. Mike Rotkin would call you a fool, as he called the three people who were found in a dumpster, and I think it was 2004 probably, but Mike is a former mayor and a UCSC socialist feminist professor, so what would you say to that?
I don't know what his background is, but I would say that money people that say peoples are fools are looking from a different observation point. If I think that people need to look from the observation point of the person making that decision of why they went in there or why they were looking for shelter. You know, when you have a nice warm bed and you have a nice shelter at home and you have a car and you have a job and you have money in the bank, your observation point is not really as clear when you're looking at somebody who does not have anything. Maybe a bad decision, or maybe they're different. You know, the new political term, instead of using mentally challenged. Or maybe they have an addiction. Maybe something's going on that's controlling their life. Instead of putting them to a side, we need to embrace them and help them. I'd like to see aftercare here in Santa Cruz. I'd like to see a building open up somewhere in the west side or somewhere in Santa Cruz instead of having an armory, which I appreciate the armory for the winter time, but I don't appreciate the April 15th date when it's closed.
Well, you know, you notice this flyer we're distributing talks about an April 15th date, the armory closing, and suggesting a new peace camp, Coonertyville. Would you be willing to come and provide meals at such a Coonertyville?
I'd always provide meals. I'd help. You know, anybody that's hungry. Hunger does not have any sort of boundaries. You know, whether you're... In other words,
you would enable these homeless ragamuffins and rascals in their illegal pursuit of some kind of public attention just because of some foolish religious notions?
I don't think anything has to do with enabling when you're feeding someone. I think that you're enabling a life to go further if you are feeding them. Now, some people want to say that if you feed somebody that's an addict or feed somebody that's homeless, that you're actually enabling them to continue in their homelessness or in their addiction. That's totally untrue. Again, I'm going to go back to the point of that's an observation point. You know, I guess the other way is to say it, the antonym to that would be, let's starve them out of town. No.
Well, that, we don't like to put it that way, but, you know, now that you mention it, how would you like to discontinue all your food services and move indoors? I mean, are we trying to get you... You have moved indoors at the behest of the... was it Cynthia Matthews? I don't know who was the mayor when they pushed you out of the town clock area. But I know that Cynthia has also been an upright citizen going after Father Joel Miller, as you may remember, over at the Calvary Episcopal Church because of their shameful homeless meal every Monday night. Have you been following that?
You know, I don't really follow that down there. I've talked to a few people that were part of that, and they were talking about the situation. I read in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, of course, about how some of the people that live in that neighborhood or were concerned about their neighborhood, and then also talking to some of the upright citizens here in Santa Cruz, which names I cannot mention without their permission, that were actually stating that it was just mainly people were upset because they had a lot of money for the city, but yet it was kind of disgracing that area down there. Again,
that's very unsightly. And don't you understand? Homeless people on the street are just not a tourist attraction. I mean, you don't seem to follow this, Dennis, because here you are, first year to hear you, but at least we've got you indoors now.
Well, I'm at
the homeless service center.
I'm not indoors. I still meet outside. I'm not indoors. I meet in the parking lot.
You never learn, Dennis Adams.
You know, I have to be where I'm at, you know, and that's what I do. And again, let me just reiterate that the downtown property there where that church is, I believe it's an Episcopal church, if I'm not mistaken.
Calvary Episcopal.
You know, that's private property, you know, and they have a right to do whatever they want.
The historic Matthews house across the street the property values are certainly dropping because of this kind of questionable activity. You'll have these scruffy types hanging around. I mean, certainly you don't approve of that.
The properties are dropping because the economy has dropped out, and so we're seeing more people. Let me reiterate something and say this in a very compassionate way, is that there are people that come through the lines now that are homeless for the first time, that had nice homes and jobs, but they've lost their homes, they've lost their jobs, and they're out in the street for the first time. And they're seeing stuff for the first time in that observation point that I've referred to before. They're understanding what it is now to be cold, to be hungry, to be humiliated, to be looked at as a person that's not really human anymore because they don't have what other people have. We're all human beings, no matter what our beliefs are. You know, there is a humanitarian value that we all must stick to in this nation and across the world. And if once we deny someone in their human rights and their humanitarian values,
we've disgraced who we are.
Well, don't you agree that our president is in Afghanistan and Iraq proceeding to distribute those human rights quite freely, admittedly with a few bombs along the way, but...
Bottom line is that, you know, I don't think we should be over in Iraq, or I don't think we should be in Afghanistan, and now we're heading for Libya. I don't think we should be there. I think what we should need to understand is we need to deal with our problems, which we have major problems. Even in this city, San Francisco, Chicago, where I did 5 years of working with the homeless down in the lower Wacker, Cleveland, Ohio, Miami, Florida. I mean, this is not something that is small time. We have a huge problem, and we need people to help. Let's put down our differences, let's join hands, and let's get these people to where they need to be, and that is to at least have a sense of value to lay their head down and have a place to sleep.
So, Dennis, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number? Is there any way people can, if they want to assist you in your own Sunday project or otherwise?
ActsOfLoveFoundation.org. And that's our website. It has all the information on there. So it's ActsOfLoveFoundation.org.
Thank you, Dennis. We've been talking with
Dennis Adams, and I am the founder and director of Acts of Love Foundation, and also I'm Pastor Dennis Adams, who pastors the Potter's Hand here in Santa Cruz.
Some would say potty, other would say pot full. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Plus, of course, infamous Tony Cuspa. Of course, they have no permits, but I won't have permits.
I have my permit somewhere in my shorts.
Thank you, John.
I think I'll go to the drugstore.
Hi, we're talking with
Danny.
Danny, you're a volunteer here at the Huff Table.
Yes.
Eating a spaghetti meal, which isn't bad, actually. I'm having some myself.
But Danny's spaghetti meal and her volunteer discussion will have to wait until another time, probably Sunday morning at 9:30, when I will be once more in front of you, and hopefully you will be glued to your radio or computer, eager. I say eager, assuming that we're broadcasting, which is a pretty big assumption, to hear the exciting Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's the name of the show you just heard. And we do a longer show, or I do a longer show, sometimes it's a wee, on Sundays, 9:30 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Coming up next, however, is one of your favorite shows, Uncle Dennis, from the cream to the dregs. I don't know exactly what kind of foolishness he has in store, but he can tell you himself once he has methodically set up his scene, as he usually does every Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. Sometimes at 7:55, to my chagrin. So I want to thank you all for listening in, and particularly since this one is not going out over the air, but it's streaming, and that means something because there are folks who will be able to hear it later on if they're foolish enough to listen to it, and that's going to be at huffsantacruz.org. You can check out the show tomorrow or the next day. It doesn't actually go up for a day. That's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Give me a call off air at 423-HUFF if you want to get in touch. And we will, I'll get back to you. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you have any comments, if you have any criticisms, if you want to be on the air yourself, you want to give me $100, you know, I mean, all these are things that I'm very interested in. And
you don't need $100.
Uncle Dennis here is my, I think of him as a co-host sometimes. Briefly, a very brief co-host, thank God. Next Sunday, then, perhaps we'll meet again.